Hey, I'm Shane, and in this series, we've been talking about comebacks. Whether you think of Simone Biles coming back from a mental and physical health break to wind up winning gold at the 2024 Olympics, or you think of clutching a victory royale in Fortnite when your whole squad gets eliminated except you, what a feeling that must be. I don't know, I actually don't play. But anyways, the feeling of going from hopeless to winning it all is awesome. Isn't it? For me, it'd be an FC. Like, I'll be down 3-0, and if I experience that comeback, whew, I can, like, spend my day a happy, happy person. And that's just, like, part of life, right? In fact, part of what makes a comeback story awesome is that they're kind of rare, right? I mean, not everyone who says that they're gonna win it big actually does. Not everyone who says that they're capable of making the team or winning the game actually is. And not everyone who brags can actually back up their claims. And let's be real, it's fine not to excel at sports, video games, academics, or other competitions. That's okay. But we all know people who talk a big game and don't have the receipts to back it up. At the same time, the more someone brags, the more important it is for them to follow through. Now, look, is there anyone who's made bigger claims about who he is than Jesus? I'm not saying he's bragging, but it would be important that he followed through on those things, right? See, in this series alone, we've talked about how Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life. I mean, he literally talked about bringing things back to life. That would be enough to require some serious proof. But if you've been around church, you may have heard other claims like Jesus is God's son. Jesus is 100% God and 100% human. Jesus is the hope of the world, or Jesus changes everything. And all of those are really big claims. And they're claims that millions of people, even thousands of years after Jesus was on earth, have believed. That's a really big deal. Not only that, but based on those claims, Christians have done really difficult things, like serving others, giving away all of their money to those in need, and even being friends with people that they were told to hate. We've even talked about how following Jesus means trusting him, being selfless, and loving others. None of those things are easy, but still, you might have some questions. Maybe they're questions like, are Jesus's claims about himself true? How did Jesus become someone humans would worship for thousands of years after he walked on the earth? Why in the world is he worth following when it's so difficult? And look, if we're honest, why in the world does he deserve all the attention and celebration that comes with Easter? Now, if you're wondering any of those things, you aren't alone. In fact, there was a time when Jesus' own friends and disciples probably had some similar questions. Let me explain. Jesus invited 12 guys to follow him and be his disciples, or apprentices is another way to talk about that. And their entire lives changed as they gave up careers and left their families to learn from Jesus. They traveled around the region where they lived as Jesus taught about God's love, healed people, and said some really game-changing things that challenged people's ideas about the way religion and society worked. I'm sure it was both exciting and difficult to follow Jesus as they watched miracles happen, but also faced opposition, and I'm sure they probably even missed home at times. But they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That word just simply means that he was the one that God sent to save people from the Roman Empire, to save the Jewish people specifically from the oppression of Rome. So maybe to them, his closest friends and followers, it was worth it. That was until something happened that would turn everything upside down. Jesus and his disciples went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which is a religious festival. As Jesus rode into the city, people went wild. Many even called him the King of Israel, but not everyone was a fan. Some of the powerful religious and political leaders felt that Jesus was a threat. They worried about losing their influence and getting in trouble with Rome, which was the ruling empire in charge at the time. So they decided to get rid of him. Let me show you what I mean. Okay, so one by one, a series of dominoes began to fall. Some really significant things happened. First, one of Jesus's friends betrayed him. Then he was arrested at night and put through unfair trials all night long and into the morning. Even though he was innocent, the authorities gave in to the pressure to sentence Jesus to death by crucifixion. It was a horrible way to die, reserved for the worst criminals. And then on Friday, Jesus was nailed to a cross. His followers lost their teacher, their friend, their hopes, even their dreams. They thought Jesus was going to change the world, but now he was gone. I mean, this is game over, right? Look, it may have felt that way to a lot of Jesus's followers. I mean, after all, some people thought that he was the Messiah, the one that God would send to save them from the corrupt government. I mean, some people believed he was God's son. After Jesus's death, his followers may have wondered if he really was who he said he was. After all, could God's son be killed? And if his disciples thought they were wrong about Jesus, they probably wondered if they had made a huge mistake. I mean, had they given up their careers, families, their lives for nothing? The disciples, Jesus's closest friends and followers, they actually went into hiding. And it seemed in that moment like all hope was gone. But remember, this wasn't the end of the story. On Sunday morning, one of Jesus's followers, Mary Magdalene, was at his tomb and something incredible happened. Let's read what John, who was one of Jesus's buddies, wrote about this moment. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Okay, so imagine Mary's shock and confusion in this moment. She went to mourn her friend and instead found an empty tomb. This is a problem, right? I mean, her first thought probably wasn't, "Oh, he's alive," but instead, "Yo, someone took him." Later, Mary returned to the tomb and saw two angels. They asked her why she was crying, and she explained that she thought people had taken Jesus away. Then something even wilder. If you can imagine that it gets wilder, something even wilder happened. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. This moment changed everything. Jesus was alive. And not only was he alive, but he appeared first to a woman, Mary Magdalene. And this was a really big deal at the time because their culture placed little value and importance on women. Jesus's appearance to Mary showed that he valued everyone equally. He broke the cultural boundaries and trusted Mary to share the incredible news that he had risen from the dead. This is part of a long list of incredible things that Jesus did and taught about. When Jesus came back to life, he made his comeback and everything changed. Jesus rose from the dead. And in doing so, he validated everything that he had ever said or did. He really was who he said he was, God's son, the one everyone was waiting for. His resurrection proved his love for all was real, that forgiveness is possible, that God's kingdom is here, and we can have real hope. His teachings were worth following, because he had power, even power over death. I mean, talk about a comeback. Jesus' death was not an accident or a surprise. He died on purpose to show people what sacrificial love looked like and that God would stop at nothing to have a relationship with us. Jesus' death and resurrection show that he is worth trusting and that we can experience our own comebacks by following him. So let's go back to the beginning of this conversation, this series that we've been walking through for a second. We looked at this story where Jesus showed up to two sisters, Mary and Martha, after their brother had died. Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying." Well, now Jesus proved that it was true. This is why we can say Jesus' comeback backs up everything he said. Everything Jesus said about who he was, that he was the savior people were waiting for, was proven true when he came back to life. Jesus wasn't just a good teacher or a nice guy. He was exactly who he said he was, the Son of God who couldn't even be stopped by death. He was worth following and trusting. If he was more powerful, like even more powerful than death, then we can trust him to help us overcome our insecurities, our struggles, and even the guilt and the shame that keep us from feeling close to God. His resurrection proves that having a close relationship with God that starts now and lasts forever is possible. Jesus truly is the ultimate comeback kid. But come on, like, let's talk about this. What does it mean for us today? I mean, how does Jesus's epic comeback affect our lives right now? Well, it means that we have a choice to make. If Jesus really did come back to life and everything he said is true, then we need to decide how we respond. Like the disciples, we have to choose if we will follow Jesus. And that probably won't mean leaving our families or homes, but it may mean rejecting ways of living that are the opposite of what Jesus said and showed us is best. Following him may look like giving up selfishness to serve others instead. Might look like choosing to live in a deep community with other people even when it's difficult. It may even look like changing the way we view success in life. It's going from a life that's centered only on ourselves to embracing Jesus's instruction to love God, other people, and ourselves. Okay, so here are a few ways that we can live like this is true and follow the way of Jesus. Some of us, maybe the step we want to take is to trust Jesus with your everyday life. Since Jesus has power over death, he certainly has the power to help you with whatever you're going through. Whether you're worried about a class that you're failing or a relationship that's ending, maybe it's an uncertain future after high school or even difficult family drama, you can talk to Jesus about it. The best part, he's alive and he cares about every part of your life. For some of us, maybe it's a different step. Look, if you've already decided to trust Jesus, I want to encourage you to keep taking steps to make that relationship stronger. This could be building habits into your daily life that help you focus on him, and it could be learning more about Jesus so that you can better follow his example and his teachings. And then for others of us, if you haven't decided to trust Jesus yet, but you want to, I want you to know that your small group is a great place to discuss this further. If what we've talked about today is something that you're curious about, I want to encourage you to be courageous enough to bring up your thoughts and even your questions to your group or your small group leader. And if you haven't figured out exactly what to think about all of this, there's still a step that I would encourage you to take. My challenge to you is to stay open-minded and be willing to learn more. As you get to know who Jesus is, you might just discover that trusting him will change your life in incredible ways. Okay, next, I wanna talk about another step that I think we can all take. Next, live with hope. When things look bad, remember that Jesus came back from the dead. That means no situation is hopeless. You may be going through a tough time, but it's not the end of your story. Just like Jesus had his comeback, you can have yours too. Okay, so some of us, maybe we wanna trust Jesus with our everyday lives. I think for all of us, maybe we wanna decide to live with hope. But finally, there's another step that I think all of us can take, and that's to treat others with love. Jesus showed incredible love by dying for us and then coming back to offer us a new way to live that's better for ourselves and for the world around us. It's a way of living that loves others in the same way that Jesus loved us and is so full of hope and joy. It's a new way of living that leads to healthy relationships with people. This way of living may look like believing that you're fully loved so that you don't have to be someone you're not or make fun of others for someone else's approval. It looks like being kind to people who are different than you or tend to be ignored by everyone else. It even looks like loving people that you disagree with instead of judging them. Following Jesus, it's a journey. It definitely is a journey. It's about taking small steps every day to live more like him. You might mess up. In fact, you will mess up. I still mess up all the time, but his love and forgiveness are always there. That's the power of his comeback. It also gives us the chance for a comeback too. Look, this comeback story is an invitation for all of us. An invitation to a new life, a fresh start, a chance to be part of something bigger than ourselves. As we wrap up, I want you to consider this. What if Jesus's comeback story could be your comeback story too? What if you could have a fresh start? Because that's exactly what Jesus offers. Jesus' comeback backs up everything he said, and that changes everything for us. When you head to groups, think about your answer to this question. What does Jesus' comeback mean to you?